From explosive ordnance to exquisite engagement rings, Drew and Laura's path to founding Her Love Bespoke Jewelry is anything but ordinary. Their veteran-owned studio in Heber City focuses on creating custom story-driven pieces and restoring sentimental jewelry that many shops won't touch. Clients come to them with ideas, sketches, and sometimes just a feeling, and leave with pieces designed to be worn for a lifetime and passed down after. We're talking today about their origin story, their philosophy on craftsmanship, and the behind-the-scenes realities of running a jewelry business in a mountain town. And we'll also discuss the impact of rising gold prices on their business. We're lucky to have Drew Smith, owner, jeweler, and goldsmith in studio today. Good morning and welcome to Mountain Money.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so for listeners who haven't discovered Her Love yet, how do you describe what you do and what makes your studio different from a typical jewelry store?
Well, we're trying to change the face of jewelry. We have decided that we're only going to bring craftsmen to work in our shop. So when you come in, you're working with a professional right off the bat. You're working with someone who knows how to make the jewelry, knows how to repair it, exactly what is going to be needed for your problem solving. We are mainly a custom shop. What we focus on is customs and recreating jewelry. So either reusing your old jewelry, melting that down, using old stones, such as family stones, family jewelry, or we can create it new. We focus on making sure you're getting what you want, unlike other places that may try to upsell you or, you know, upcharge and kind of go for something you're not really looking for.
So you're not talking to somebody who is trying to just sell you some stuff. You're talking to someone who's going to be a brainstorm partner to design what's in your head.
Exactly. Yeah. You come in, we sit down, we talk about what you want. You know, we start with your gem shape you're after, and then we go for the type of gem and then color of gold and how much you might want to change a certain design that you already have, or if you have a drawing, we create it on the computer with you, and then we get to see it live on the screen, and then from there we go through and make an actual 3D print, so you get to feel it, hold it, try it on.
So this is something I've never heard of before. Rod, you ever hear this?
No, and it really sounds like a really interesting and interactive and time-consuming process.
Yeah, time-consuming, huh?
Yeah, the design aspect usually takes, you know, anywhere from 30 minutes for a simple design to a couple hours for, you know, something that's more complicated.
Okay, so my understanding is that you began in the military and evolved into a lifelong commitment. Tell us a little bit about the story of you and your wife.
My wife and I met in the Army. We were both explosive ordnance disposal technicians, which is a long term for Army bomb disposal.
There's an obvious progression from keeping stuff from blowing up to making jewelry that I think all of our listeners can relate to.
Oh, yeah. It's straight across, you know, just from one to the other.
Holy cow. So that was some kind of dangerous work.
It was, yeah.
So how did, yeah. But for those of us who can't see that obviously straight through line, help us understand how you got from here to there.
So we, after getting out of the Army, there wasn't a whole lot of call for bomb disposal here in the U.S., you know, locally.
Yeah.
So thank goodness.
Yeah.
So I kind of, you know, took my time looking around at jobs and wasn't really sure what to do, because I went from something that was very important, like saving lives and protecting, you know, people's homes and so forth, to just having to make money.
Sure.
And that was not fulfilling, and it wasn't very fun or interesting. You know, it was a very high-energy lifestyle, and then going from that to nothing was, you know, pretty hard. So I took my time kind of looking around, trying things out, like I mentioned earlier. Eventually, I just decided to go back to college, ended up in the art program, and my wife was like, oh, no, we're going to be poor forever.
Yeah.
You know, she said, as long as we can make bills work, I support you.
Well, there is a commonality here, though, which is bomb disposal, I assume, requires a great deal of concentration and detail orientation.
Yes.
And in that sense, there is some consistency there, isn't there?
Yeah, so the skills transfer, you're looking at, you know, attention to detail, very detailed and almost perfectionist work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in explosive ordnance disposal across all four services, the motto is initial success or total failure.
I'm sure that's it. Yeah, that sounds about right. Now, what skills or mindsets from your military background do you bring into not just your jewelry design, but running your business as a whole?
Definitely professionalism to kind of another degree, and realism. You know, people don't want, in a creative field like this, they don't want to walk in somewhere and be greeted by fake or heavy sales attitudes. People want to come in and they want to feel real. They want to feel like they're meeting with someone who knows what they're doing, who is very professional, but also wants to have fun with it. And that's a lot of what we did in, you know, in my time in EOD was rule number one was safety, and rule two was look cool doing it. So, yeah, we were a little bit different from, you know, standard Army practices where we would, you know, where it's all drill. We were very fluid. So that's, I would say that's a big part of it, keeping that fluidness and keeping that that strong professionalism and technical detail.
I imagine when someone walks into the store with an idea or a sketch, you know, whatever, you're going to craft something for them, you or the other craftsman take an emotional journey with them on the design.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, we had a piece come in for a lady who had just lost her grandfather. And so she brought in a whole bunch of turquoise inside of a big pendant. And there were probably 6 to 8 pieces on there. And we took all that turquoise out, melted down the silver, made new things out of it. And as her grandfather had just passed, it was very emotional for her,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, sitting with someone who's going through that, you can't help but empathize and sympathize. But also we took that piece and we made all sorts of symbolism connections. So we did like a circle going with a line going around the other side of the ring to another circle, symbolizing, you know, her and her grandfather are still connected, but they are just in different places.
Mm-hmm.
Or we did like a sun on one side and a moon on the other side, and, you know, different things that just really had a lot of symbolism for her. And, you know, we both came to tears at one point, so.
Yeah, sounds fulfilling.
It was very fulfilling, yeah.
Yeah. So now, how does being based in Heber and, you know, the broader Wasatch back influence your aesthetic, your clientele, and or the way you run your business?
I would say for the aesthetic, we're trying to match the building a little bit, but trying to match our personality too. Kind of fun, more modern.
Mm-hmm.
Our workshop is very modern, so, you know, people walk in immediately see that, and you know, it just screams, "We make it here," you know.
So that means you walk into your store and you don't see those glass cases with the same thing after one another with different sizes.
Yeah, it's actually split in two. So mm-hmm. you walk in on the left side, you'll see the workshop where mm-hmm. you know we're working away there. And then on the right side, you have your whole display and you know, all the custom pieces and all that kind of stuff. So
I like that it's out front. And
yeah.
You know, a lot of restaurants are doing the kitchen in front as well. So that's kind of a trend, I guess.
Yeah, pretty similar. And people love it. You know,
yeah.
We walk them over to the workshop, say, "Look, here's where we do it."
Now, advanced repairs are a big part of what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Can you share an example of a problem piece that came to you that another jeweler may have turned away, and you were able to bring it back, not back to life, but bring it a new life?
I would say we've had a couple platinum pieces come in that some people just can't or won't work on.
Mm-hmm.
Platinum requires a different skill set and different tool set. So that's one thing, just general platinum work. We've had small things like a tennis bracelet where it broke at the hinge and they took it to one place and they said they wouldn't work on it, brought it to me, and I was like, sure, it's easy.
Yeah.
So There's a few different things like that that'll come in. Some rings have stones that can't go into certain liquids like acids or ultrasonic cleaners or steamers. So you have to kind of be careful how you treat those. Most places are pretty good about that.
What I like is this sort of combination of communication and technical skills. So let's take that to the level of someone, a young couple's coming in and they want to get an engagement wedding thing. Talk to us about the steps that you take them through and the considerations that you think are important in getting them what they ultimately will cherish for many years.
So first off, we need to know what they want. So we get the design down. But then we need to make sure the design is feasible and is going to last. There was a big trend of very thin jewelry a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. A lot of those are breaking now. So we're seeing those come in. But they also need to understand what they're buying. So if you're buying, natural versus lab-grown diamond, you need to know what the difference is and the cost difference. You need to know what kind of gold you're getting, what purity that gold is, and why that matters. You're looking at how to put those all together. If you're getting gems, you need to know how to care for the gem, how to treat it, when you should and should not wear jewelry. For example, wearing your engagement ring to the gym might not be as great as, maybe taking it off for a couple hours while you work out. So we kind of educate the whole process. You get to understand everything from start to finish, and you get it from the people who work on it. So, if you take your car to the salesperson at the mechanic shop, they could tell you quite a bit, But you start talking to mechanics and they'll be like, hey, maybe don't drive your car down the mountainside.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Exactly. So we jumped into a problem piece just a moment ago. Now, how about a success story? Someone brought something in or an idea and the final product surprise the client, and even surprised you. Do you have any stories like that?
I've got a bunch.
What's the most memorable?
One of them was a Native American piece in silver. It had gotten run over by a car, and all the turquoise had been popped out. The ring was flat, and I was like, I don't know if we can save this, but we can definitely try. And so I got a little thin, they call it a mandrel, a little point, basically. And I slowly started reforming that back into ring shape. And then once we got into ring shape, we had to get all the spots for the stones re-welded on there and make it look good for the stones to sit inside of those bezels. And then we had to put the stones all back in. So it was pretty amazing, kind of a night and day difference between the two. Just something coming flat and then leaving as a whole ring.
Now, are you wearing magnifying glasses or one of those little dishes with the light?
I usually use a microscope.
Microscope. Okay, yeah. Wow, you're working that small.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, some of the pieces, like some diamonds come in at 0.8 millimeters. So they're just itty bitty.
Holy cow. So therefore, your steady hand in EOD works here in jewelry.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so how about for listeners who have a piece sitting in a drawer at home, maybe an old ring or family stone they're scared to touch, what would you say to encourage them to start a conversation about a redesign or a repair? How would you get them motivated to say, come on in and see me?
First step is going to be the desire to wear the piece or use the piece. Maybe it was grandma's, and the diamond is loose. Or maybe it's something that you loved once upon a time and it just broke. Let's get it back on you. Let's get it worn again. It's no good sitting in a drawer. Jewelry is all about memories. It's all about emotions and significant events, significant people. So I would say keep those memories alive. Keep that emotion alive. And let's solidify it into a piece that you can wear and remember all the time.
Yeah, and anyone can just bring something in and have a chat with you guys, right?
Yeah, it's too easy. Bring it in, we'll take a look at it together.
Killer. Yeah. All right, now the big, let's switch over to the big thing, the price of gold. right? So what, 6 months ago was around 3,500 an ounce, and now it's close to $5,000. Sometimes it goes a little over, sometimes under. Has that steady increase affected your business? And if so, how? Also, with such fluctuations in price, it must be hard to price a custom piece of jewelry because the cost of gold changes in the weeks or months that it takes to create it. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, so when I started actually planning the shop, like we started the business name and everything, gold was about $2,700. and we were like, okay, it's a little high, but yeah, it'll be fine. We'll have enough to buy a bunch of gold and make some fun pieces. So I would say affecting the business, it's been, we haven't been able to make as much as we want. We want to make great, big, fun pieces, really interesting things. But due to the gold skyrocketing, we just haven't been able to, you know, afford as a new business to just create some of those big, fun, look what we can do type pieces.
Yeah.
As for pricing for customers, I've always kept kind of a fair business model in that sense, where we have a certain cost that we charge for the CAD and the design aspect. And then on top of that is just X amount times the gold. And then your stone.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's no mystery in kind of what we're charging. It's you're paying for gold, you're paying for stone, and labor, that's it.
Excellent. So we just spent a few minutes with Drew Smith, owner of Her Love Bespoke Jewelry in Heber, down there on Main Street. Drew, thank you very much for spending time with us.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate you guys.
Hey, we'll be right back in just a moment.